The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Now, as we just mentioned, the federal government is set to introduce tough new laws aimed at keeping Australian kids off social media platforms. To discuss the risks to young people is leading cyber safety expert and founder of YSafe, psychologist Jordan Foster. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Very well, thanks. It's great to have you back on the show. Can you tell us, why are these new laws important?
These new laws are long overdue, and I'm sure parents are so happy to hear the news this morning. It's really important. The reason that these laws are so important is because even though we see social media platforms and gaming platforms have minimum standards of sign-up, so you have to be at least 13 or some platforms is 16, there has been no age verification process on most of the major players. And even still, if there is a parental consent required, it's just a tick box that says, I've asked my parents. There's been no way of enforcing age restrictions. And because of that, what we have been seeing is primary age children accessing social media platforms at alarming rates. So this is really essential.
And so what are the main dangers for these young people accessing these sites?
It's really largely both the content that's on these platforms and also the people that kids can interact with. So social media platforms do have community guidelines of the type of content they allow, and they actually will block or take down. But in my experience, these community guidelines are very ambiguous. And not only that, but content still gets posted up, and then it will get removed once it's been reported. So unfortunately for these platforms, there is a lot of violent content, pornographic content, very inappropriate content for young consumers. And not only that, but the actual people who can contact young children on these platforms. So the mechanisms that are in place to minimise contact by strangers are not particularly robust, which means it's been really common on Instagram, for example, over the past year, for random strangers to actually send direct messages to kids and teenagers that are of pictures of them, presumably, but it's completely nude, with no context, no message prior, but just these pictures. So Instagram have in place now a way to stop that from happening, but it's been really unfortunate, the number of people on these platforms trying to exploit children.
And we think of Instagram and we think that, you know, generally they have those kind of content protocols in place. As you say, there can be a bit of a lag, though, before posts are reported and then dealt with. TikTok, on the other hand, which is massive with younger kids, as we know, some of the content on that is, I guess, much more sexually explicit. Do you think parents underestimate or maybe are not fully aware of the sort of things that they're seeing on TikTok?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think parents are really, they only know what they know, which is understandable, but I think they do underestimate how devastating some of the content can be on these platforms and just what's included. So, for example, with TikTok, what's really interesting is the way that TikTok works. And so, much like all social media platforms, but TikTok certainly do it the best, is they have an algorithm which assesses what they think the child wants to see. And it's based on their demographics, but it's also based on their behaviours online and what their other friends are doing. Now, what this means then is, let's just say there's a video that pops up on a child's For You page on TikTok, and kids, it's perhaps a little bit explicit or risque, but kids will watch it because they don't understand it, and they go, oh, interesting. But then TikTok thinks, well, you want to see more of this type of content. So then TikTok continues to show them not only that type of content, but content that can be even more problematic. And there is a big, trend on TikTok in particular for people promoting platforms like OnlyFans, which is a subscription-based platform that's about selling pictures of yourself to strangers who want to pay money for it. Sex workers, for example, who are promoting their services online, and you're allowed to do that on TikTok, and talking about their different customers and bits and pieces. So kids find themselves exposed to this content. And what concerns me as a psychologist is not just being exposed to it, but how it's normalised and actually glorified on these platforms when kids don't actually know what it is. And all of a sudden they're going, oh, this looks great. People are getting money. People are really happy. And so these messages are really skewed. And so if they're getting exposed to these without conversations with parents and parents don't know about it, and they're getting presented this world that actually seems really amazing, but we know as adults it's extremely problematic.
Now, if passed, these proposed new laws will see penalties for the social media companies increased from around about $2 million to $10 million. Is that the sort of big stick approach that's been needed, or do you think that's even going to move the needle for some of these mega companies?
Look, I don't think that the financial aspect of it is significant for these platforms, but what I do think is the exposure by media being called out. What we've seen with Facebook and Instagram over the past few years is anything that's been considered illegal or unethical by these platforms has been put under public scrutiny. And that's what influences their bottom line, is their consumer behaviour. So I actually think fine itself is not substantial, but the media attention and the public outcry that's paired with that, I think that's what creates change. So I do think this is a big step in the right direction.
And how confident are you that it's even possible for these companies to take all these reasonable steps to verify their users' age in a way that will create a meaningful change?
It's an interesting question, Ben, because I think from my experience, these platforms have the technology in order to actually create really strong change. They have the ability to have really robust mechanisms for age verification, for example. Where I think there's a problem is the ambiguous term of all reasonable steps, because that enforcing that means that you have to have an understanding about what technology is actually capable of and what can be done on these platforms. And I think they're very good historically at suggesting that they've taken reasonable steps, but perhaps we know that they could do better. And so I think until there's really strict parameters about what does reasonable steps actually mean and what does it look like and how are they held accountable to that, I think that these platforms will continuously fall short on enforcing what that is, what's a reasonable step.
Well, we've mentioned a couple of things today already when it comes to this issue. That's the sort of content that kids are exposed to and maybe the sorts of people that kids are exposed to on these platforms. But there's another major concern when it comes to the Australian Federal Police. They're worried that kids as young as 13 might be increasingly becoming radicalised online. Why is this something that occurs on social media?
Social media does attract lots of different types of young users, and we know that the people that are targeting young children in terms of promoting these radicalised messages are targeting kids who are otherwise vulnerable or socially isolated. So young people are going through a phase of identity formation, trying to figure out who am I and where do I fit. And if you pair that developmental milestone with typically social exclusion online, that creates a very vulnerable child who is very impressionable. And if you have that with a little bit of angst, you've got this recipe of a child who can be very easily influenced in terms of their ideology, in terms of what they want to do, joining a mission and things like that. So we are seeing kids, unfortunately, getting roped into these types of groups and these types of messages and then behaving in a way that's individual violence against people, organisations or groups of other people. So young people in that way are a bit of a ticking time bomb when they're vulnerable, being targeted by these groups and these people.
And the feds think it's gotten worse during the pandemic, with kids being at home and online more than usual, especially in the East Coast where they've had a lot of lockdowns. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, we've actually been seeing that globally. And I think that what we can pair that with, a lot of young people feeling very alone and very angry and not actually having much control over their own environment. So this joining these groups or pushing this ideology actually gives them a sense of control over their own being and having a sense of purpose. I'm not necessarily saying it's a good one, obviously, but it gives them something back. And when COVID has been so tumultuous and there's been a lot of young people at home not being able to take care of themselves or their own well-being, it's an unfortunate outlet for many young people.
And now I know YSAFE, your organisation, is working on a paper at the moment that you're going to submit to government around parental controls on devices, which ties into what we've been talking about today. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. The government, and rightly so, has been focusing a lot on social media platforms, and that is absolutely essential. But what we have noticed is that the operating systems are not getting as much exposure. And operating systems are things like Apple, Google, Microsoft. And from a parent perspective, what this means, and this comes up when I talk to parents all the time, is they say to me, I've just put screen time settings on my child's Apple device or their iPad, or I've put on Family Link for my Android device, but my child just turned 13 and all of a sudden they're not working. Now, if you read the T's and C's for Apple and Google in particular, they actually clearly state that once a child turns 13, they have the right to opt out of their parents' safety settings. And parents actually have to ask permission for their 13-year-old to join back. It's outrageous that operating systems are actually giving more power to teenagers than they are to their parents. And they've actually, unfortunately, over the past few years, had a monopoly on parental control tools. So they're trying to, from what it seems, push people into using the built-in control settings and not using third-party apps that actually have far more effective, I suggest, and robust settings. So parents are really behind the eight ball and they don't even know it, which is shocking.
Mm. Well, it certainly is shocking that big tech is making a decision on when your 13-year-old is old enough to make decisions for themselves. My goodness, that's exactly. Pretty scary. YSafe founder Jordan Foster, thanks as always for being on the show. We really appreciate your insights. Thanks for being on the West Live.
Thanks, Ben.